Welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
Well, welcome back to the Kanakuk Podcast. I am here once again with my buddy, Joe White. And Joe, we are so blessed to have so many fun conversations and meet amazing guests. And our guest is no stranger to us today, a longtime friend of Kanakuk and of you personally, Joe. And so I'm going to pass it over to you. And would you introduce to us today, Mr. Jeff Reeder?
Jeff Reeder is the real deal. I do know Jeff very well. There's nothing fake about him. When you're around him, you feel better about yourself. When you're around him, you feel closer to God. When you're around him, you feel more zeal for living. Jeff's favorite word is wow, and he lives a life of wow. And his book, Do Life Differently, if you read this book, Jeff will rub off on you. He's been a very blessed businessman. He's got a team of a whole lot of folks that are out there helping people with their financial planning. He's been very involved in helping conservative, Christ-centered ideas and values find a place in the United States of America. Meet one of the best guys you'll ever meet, Beth Ann. This is Jeff Reeder.
Welcome to the show, Jeff. We're glad to have you.
I'm just grateful. I'm really grateful for that, Joe. Thank you. And back at you, only 2X.
I love it. Well, like Joe mentioned, Jeff, you have written a book, and it's called Do Life Differently, A Strategic Path Towards Extraordinary. And, you know, what we said today is this is a must read for anyone wanting to become the best version of, you know, his or her own authentic self and create a legacy that encourages others to really grow as well. And so, Jeff, tell us more about this idea of extraordinary and living a life by design and not default.
Oh, I love that, Beth Ann, and I'm so excited to speak to that a little bit. The word ordinary, I'll often hold up a word or I'll put it on a white marker board when I'm speaking to a group and I'll write that word there and they'll say, and I'll say, is this what you're going for? Is this why you're here? And then I ask for synonyms usually. And, you know, I get normal and common and typical and boring. And, you know, you just get all these words that tie to that. And I'm like, okay, so, but we don't like the word normal. We don't like the word ordinary, but do we like the word abnormal? Because if you're not normal, aren't you abnormal? And we do this great conversation, but the bottom line is you got to be different. If we're all the same, we're going to be ordinary, vanilla, homogenized. And so I'm really encouraging people to run after extraordinary. And then Joe White is extraordinary. I live in a world that's not an easy world. It's a secular business world. And I try to be a sheep in wolves' clothing. I try to earn the right to be heard with wolves who are going to eat me up. And they've attacked me in every way, but not as much as Joe. And I just, I watched him journey life. He called me one time with Debbie Joe, FaceTime me. I'm like, holy cow, he's FaceTiming me. I knew he had just had open heart surgery. And basically, Debbie Joe was holding the phone for Joe. Joe said, Reek, I love you, proud of you. And if this is it, this is it. He didn't say if this is it, this is it. Right. But I picked it up, you know, after that open heart surgery and that infection and all that went into that. But there's just been leukemia, broken legs, chainsaw, incredible health things, incredible pain with his toes and his feet and then losing them and then losing them with positive energy. Who does that?
Right.
Jeff, in your book, you describe a pathway that every father, every husband, every mother, every wife, every businesswoman, every student, oh, if they could capture one, just the exuberance of your heart. But you talk about this great pathway of moving from survival to success, and then the joyful mind shift of moving from success to significance. And you call it the summit of significance. That is inspiring, Jeff. What is that pathway like for everyone who's listening?
So we Cindy and I love to be in the mountains, and we'd love to ski, which is on the mountain. But what we like even more is in the summertime hiking. And she and I mean, she's the most amazing life partner, and you know, we're best buddies, and we go hiking, and we're hiking up, and it's hard, and it gets easier sometimes. And then there's, you know, a little treacherous, and then you get through the path, and it's just, you never know what's coming next when you're on a tremendous hiking trail up in the mountains. And I think life is that way. I mean, I wish it wasn't, you know, ever hard, but it's gonna be, you know? And so how do we get to this place where we're climbing summits and doing hard things with joy, you know, because we believe that the Lord has got this, you know? And so that's what I love to encourage people with. I spend time on this idea of human flourishing, which I've read a lot that academia has said about human flourishing. And I'm like, man, those, bless their hearts, I need to read the Bible. It isn't that hard. Just read the Bible. Your theory is insane if you think that's what's going to cause somebody to flourish. There was a man, and he was the way, the truth, and the life. And doing life with him on that journey to the summit of significance is huge.
Why is that journey from survival to success and success to significance? Why is significance the peak of the mountain for you?
Yeah, there was a speech that I gave, Joe, to thousands of people that was called From Survival to Success to Significance. And the, you know, you got the whole crowd laughing at me talking about eating peanut butter. And it wasn't eating peanut butter for any reason other than I was just dead broke. And peanut butter, I felt like it, I kind of like peanut butter and jelly. And I had this deal where if my business activities, I'm, you know, 22, 23 years old, my business activities don't measure up for that week, then the next week I punish myself and say, no jelly. It's only peanut butter and bread. And people were laughing and saying, yeah, that's funny. And I'm like, yeah, it was funny, sort of, you know, but it was life and it was real. And I was doing everything I could to stimulate to getting from really, you know, not in a good place financially, not in a good place, to moving to a place where, you know, we were stable. And then maybe from stable beyond to, you know, people would have said successful. But I think the key that so many miss, you know, my buddy Bob Buford said when he was living halftime, you know, what do we need to do to get from this successful place to leaving an eternal mark in the world that matters? Because too many people on this planet are going to live a life that really didn't matter much.
Yeah, and what I hear you saying there too is they may live a life that was successful, but it wasn't significant, right? It wasn't of eternal value. And your joy is helping people not only reach success, but to even reach higher than that with significance. I love that. Well, you also talk about in your book, making a master action plan. Briefly walk us through what is that? How do you start? What does that look like?
Yeah, I love that question. And I think I'll grab a prop as I'm on here. Hopefully that's not bad for me to walk away. But I call this thing a life book. And it's a journal that I do and redo every year in the fourth quarter. And then in here are these pages. Team Reader is our family. Me working on me, guided by God is spiritual. There's the business tab right there. And every year I create a map. And the map is in the context, believe it or not, this will sound strange, of a 100-year life vision. I'm not sure if I'm going to live to age 100. In fact, I hope I don't, unless I'm pretty able, right? You know, and so keeping ourselves okay. But a 100-year life vision, and then a 5-year view of the summit. And based on this vision of my life, what are we going to do in 2025? And what's 2025 going to look like with my family, with each of my kids? And so, like, literally, there's the We Are the Readers page, and that basically is our family mission statement. But here are the pages. There's the page. There's the Cindy Lulu pages right there. And here's the writing on the Cindy Lulu pages where it says, I'm going to try to stay married to that girl. I mean, I married over my head. By the way, Joe White married us on Easter weekend in 1987. And I married way over my head and everybody knew it. Everybody's like, man, I don't know if that's going to last because Readers, the guy, you know, the dude here is a knucklehead. And so I'm like, 36 years, I'm saying, man, I got to stay married to this girl. And here's the strategy for doing it. You know, there's some pages there on that. And then each of our kids, Chad, Ryan, Cody, Dale Wallace, Bruce Vaina, Ryan's married to Ansley. Cody's married to Brooke. We got baby Tilly. We got baby Callan. We got baby on the way with Brookie soon, by the way. And it's like, I've got to have a strategy. I mean, I just got back from getting to hold baby Callan for about 45 minutes. I showed up on sweet Ansley's doorstep and I'm like, it's your father-in-law and I'm here for that baby. And but the strategy for a little Callan who's just turned two months is to just hold him and love him, you know? And so it gets more complex as they get older, it seems to me. But at the end of the day, master action plan. And for us Christians, by the way, a map is the master's action plan for our life in 2025 against a context of a 5-year view of the summit, against a context of a 100-year possibly journey of life.
And so, Jeff, in a world of so much mediocrity, especially among Christians, I hope the listeners are inspired, as you have written in your book, to live a life of a greater purpose. And you talk about leading yourself well. And then you help us, all of us out there that are, you know, kind of meandering along, you help us with some real steps of action that we can take, that all of us can take, to live a life of greater purpose and to lead our self-world. And so you talk about designing your daily life. You do that in a remarkable way. Help us get our first steps, if we're not really taking those steps, of designing our daily life. What do you say in the book about that?
I love that question, Joe. And so I want to return back to the word extra. You know, we talked about ordinary. And what that word ordinary needed is the word extra added. And then I love to ask people, is it a lot of extra or is it a little extra? And it's funny because most people say, well, it would take a lot of extra. And the answer is no, it actually doesn't. It takes only a little extra in an area of your life. We call it the integrity compass. And so it may be family, it may be fitness, maybe faith, maybe, you know, community involvement, maybe other things, but it's only going to take a little bit of extra that then becomes a habit. And so one of the things I talk to somebody who says, I need to lose a little weight. And I'll say, well, let's put together a strategy for that. They'll say, okay, well, I'll go run. I say, okay, tell me about that. Well, I used to be able to run 5 miles in 40 minutes. And so I'm going to go run. And it's like, okay, what if we walk around the block tomorrow morning, 15 minutes early? You know, get up 15 minutes earlier, because all we're trying to do is get in the habit of doing the right things. And that 5-mile run that you think you can do is going to kill you. And you'll not want to run for another week. But if you walk around the block one time and you feel a little underperforming, then the next day you might walk a little faster, and then the next day you might walk twice. And before long, you're running. And before long, this habit, like brushing your teeth, is something that's liberating you. Another one that I just love because of the fruit in it is that I'll ask somebody who's having a struggle doing their daily time of quiet reflection with God, And I'll say, will you do me one thing? It's a small favor, really small, a little extra. And they say, okay, yeah, what is it? I say, would you read one verse in that book a day for the next 365 days? And then I said, hey, let you in on a secret. In the book of Luke, one of those one verses is Jesus wept. It's two words. And if you read Jesus wept in your deal with me, you get credit. And people go, well, I don't understand. I don't think that's going to make a big difference. And I'm like, well, we'll see. You know, we're going to see the letter you write me at the end of the year.
Right.
And the letter you wrote, it's going to be, I didn't read just one verse. You know, but the habit of reading one verse is what we're going for.
Right. That's so good. Jeff, what would you say to the person, you know, that's maybe working through, I'm trying to instill, have a master action plan. I'm trying to initiate and be strategic with my time and build those daily habits like you're talking about. But maybe they get to a place where they just feel stuck. They're not really moving forward, or they get off track. They're discouraged. Like, what do we do when we get in that middle place and we just kind of need some help?
Part of the key about getting unstuck is realizing when you're stuck. I mean, that's one of the things that's, you know, we don't do all that well, you know. It's like I'm the worst of getting lost out there, and Cindy's going, are we lost? And I'm like, no, we're not. Well, I don't even admit it.
Right.
And so I think identifying where am I stuck, almost like, back to that integrity compass, if I'm going to look at faith and fitness and my family, and I'm going to look at community involvement, and I'm going to look at, let's say, financially, where am I stuck? And really thinking about, by design, not by default, I'm going to get unstuck. And it's going to take a step-by-step-by-step process. And where I'm going to start is here. You know. And so getting unstuck is so important. Knowing when you're lost and knowing when you're stuck is really, really important.
Right.
And Jeff, I love the word choose, and you use the word often in your book. You talk about choosing to become the best you possible. You talk about choosing habits that will give you your best life. You talk about choosing the best frame of mind to operate in. Our friend Gary Small used to say, love is a choice. And in marriage, when you choose the right disposition toward your wife, as a father, when you choose to invest in your children with a great heart and a great attitude, in business, when you choose to care deeply and to sacrifice for the folks that are on your team, you do well. Talk about how we are in control of our choices, Jeff.
You know, many, many people don't feel they have choices. I started out many, many years ago doing what we called fact finders back then. And I did about 25 or 30 a month, sitting down with persons, could be couples, could be primary breadwinners usually, and just talking to them about their life. And I'd say, in the next 3 years, what are your goals, personally, professionally, and financially? And I always ask the question as if they all had goals. And they tend to answer as if they had goals. But the truth is, to your point on choice and choose, people aren't perceiving that they have choices. They feel like they've got this job. They feel like they've got this spouse. They feel like they've got this family. And it kind of is what it is. And I wish it was working out a little bit better, but it just doesn't seem to be working out that well. And it's like, well, wait a minute. what can you do to make this happen? What if it were your responsibility for it to be happening? You know, I'm a big fan of Gary Smalley's also, and he taught me to value Cindy in a whole different way and not think about what I'd fix about Cindy, but think about what I'd fix about me in order to better serve Cindy and take these choices in the direction of excellence or moving forth from mediocrity.
And so, Jeff, you've also walked through a significant amount of challenges, gigantic mountains that you had to climb that you didn't expect. Life has thrown you a number of curveballs. You've been hurt deeply. You've suffered loss. As you pursue a life of significance, and you pursue a life of managing yourself well and developing a master plan and all these great things that you talk about in such practical ways in your book, but how do you do that when all of a sudden you're on a detour and your road takes a hard right turn, and now you're driving down a bumpy road in the wilderness? How do you continue to apply your principles in the face of loss and tragedy?
You know, I would just say, I've got an okay self-esteem and I probably have too much ego, not enough humility, but let me just make this point. It's not about me, and I'm really not that important. And a little pain and a little suffering and a little feeling that's not so good, it's okay, because it's not about me. If it's about me, then this is all going to be about me, you know. And if I'm in pain and it's all about me, then man, then that'll be what it will be, and everybody around me will know it. But when it's not about me and it is about others, and it's about serving them and loving them and caring for them, and it could be my family, it could be my firm. I love my firm here is the Texas Financial Group. We have the southern half of Texas, I just love those people, you know. And so if something's happened in the firm that, you know, you get that attack or whatever, maybe because you're a Christian, by the way, that's what's crazy about today, you know. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's not about me. I'm insignificant in the scheme of what God is seeking to do. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time dwelling on woe is me, because it's not about me.
As we continue this conversation, Jeff, I just keep sitting here thinking, you know, each of us need to take personal responsibility and ownership for leading our lives, right? Or else we do just live out of that place of default, and we're never going to reach that place of significance. And really the benefit of leading yourself in a lot of the ways that we're talking about through daily disciplines and all these good habits, the people underneath you or that are, you know, under your leadership, your family, people who work for you, they're all going to benefit and then be inspired to also take ownership of their lives. And so I think this is such a great model, as you've set for us, you know, that's going to inspire others to do that as well. Nothing happens just you got to put time, you got to put intention, and you got to be strategic. And so another thing you talk about in your book is as you approach a year, you choose a theme for that year. And I would assume that just really helps you, as you talked about earlier, really kind of narrow in and focus on where are we going? How are we getting there? What are we doing this year? And so walk us through, you know, how do you start there? Like, that's kind of a big thing. Like, how do I know what to pick for the theme of my year? And I think you've given some steps in the book on, you know, how to do that. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah, the annual theme thing has been going on for 30 years. And so I've got 30 years of saying, this is my theme. And I spend the fourth quarter really working on, okay, what's my theme for next year going to be? And then I have this privilege of on starting on January 1st and for 365 days saying, okay, in this year of my life, the pursuit is this, the little focus, the little extra focus. And so as I read God's word daily, it's like, how does that scripture correlate to this theme? And it's staggering how often it does, you know, and there's a significant correlation. And so, for instance, walking through God's word in a year with that theme, you get a different flavor for what God's saying in the context of things. My favorite story that I think Joe knows, because it was Springfield, Missouri, but I got a call that my dad had had a stroke. And that year, my theme was beyond. And I had claimed Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly above or beyond anything others were to ask or think. And I'm trying to put a stake at beyond. And my dad died in that first quarter. And God said to my heart, you're not going to understand beyond. Beyond is indescribable. It's beyond. You know, and so it was kind of like he was chuckling. He's like, your whole theme for the year of putting a stake where beyond is doesn't make any sense because it's not possible. And he communicated that in holding my dad's hand for 9 days in intensive care in a hospital in Springfield, Missouri, where my dad could squeeze for the first 4 days, but he lived 9 days. And I hung there with him and prayed with him and sang to him and, you know, just it was a really amazing time. But things like that, I look back on, you know, the theme being beyond and then my dad going beyond and then, you know, kind of what you learn in that context.
This book, Do Life Differently, published by Worthy Publishing, $16.99 for a life-changing experience. That's what the book is.
That's a good price on a master class right there, Joe.
Yeah, it beats a semester of college. But I hope you'll read it. I hope you'll get on Amazon and find Do Life Differently by Jeff Reeder. We've just touched the surface of the iceberg today, Beth Ann. I wish you knew Jeff like I do.
Me too.
But in reading the book, you'll get a great experience with Jeff. And Jeff, we appreciate your love for us, your love for Kanakuk over the years, and the way you live your remarkable life. You make this planet a better place to live.
Thank you so much, Jeff, just for your time today. We'd love to pray for our audience and for you and close our time. So God, thank you so much just for what you've done in Jeff's life, Lord, all that you've taught him as he has searched the scriptures, Lord, and Lord, as he is seeking to live an extraordinary life and helping others do the same, God, I pray that each of us would stop and take some time today to consider what can we do to make sure that when we leave, God, we're leaving back a life of significance, Lord, with eternal significance, Lord. So God, would you lead us as we seek to lead ourselves and lead others so that we may flourish and live an abundant life. God, we love you and we need you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit kanakukpodcast.com. And for more information about Kanakuk, you can visit kanakuk.com.